From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Currently, Dr. Cairns is bringing a series of studies in the book of Joshua. Today, he continues a message entitled, The Unfailing Promises of Our Unfailing God. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, please enjoy this devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, The Lord's Much More. The text is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 9. And Amaziah said to the man of God, But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. If you have made a mistake, bear the loss of it, but do not act contrary to the will of the Lord. The Lord can give you much more than you are likely to lose, and if he does not, will you begin bargaining and chaffering with God? The king of Judah has hired an army from idolatrous Israel, and he was commanded to send home the fighting men because the Lord was not with them. He was willing to send away the host, only he grudged paying the 100 talents for nothing. Oh, for shame! If the Lord will give the victory without the hirelings, surely it was a good bargain to pay their wages and to be rid of them. Be willing to lose money for conscience' sake, for peace's sake, for Christ's sake. Rest assured that losses for the Lord are not losses. Even in this life they are more than recompensed. In some cases, the Lord prevents any loss from happening. As to our immortal life, what we lose for Jesus is invested in heaven. Fret not at apparent disaster, but listen to the whisper, The Lord is able to give thee much more than this.
Seems long, but rise.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use, or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. In chapter 23, verse 14, sensing that his death was imminent, Joshua exhorted the children of Israel with these words, "Ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof." Looking back over his life, Joshua could see the hand of the Lord leading him. Things that had been difficult and sometimes painful were now seen as part of God's plan. In reviewing the past decades, Joshua pointed the nation to an immutable person, the God who does not change. Not only so, but God kept his word to Israel. Whatever he said he would do, he did without fail. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, this is good news for those who are trusting in Christ. For the lost, however, these are words of unspeakable horror. Now to continue this message, the unfailing promises of an unfailing God, here is Dr. Cairns.
For the child of God, though there may be the fogs of circumstances to cloud his thinking or to obscure from his understanding the purposes of God, yet the future is always bright. This is what the book of Proverbs tells us, that the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And believer, I want you to understand this morning, whether you can see your way out of your problems at this time or whether you can't, whether you can understand what God is doing in your life at this time or whether you can't, whether the sunlight is streaming across your pathway or the fogs and the mists are blowing in your way, it really makes no ultimate difference. The solution is getting closer to your understanding all the time, because the Lord knows what He's doing, and soon we will too. I don't say we have to wait to the day of our death to know. That's obvious from the text that we don't. Because Joshua was wanting the children of Israel to know it there and then. But let us understand this, that we, however much we know it now, when we come to leave this life and go out into eternity, like Joshua, we will have the assurance looking back, that God has not failed. This is the testimony that Joshua established in the light of the perfect day. Joshua established the testimony concerning the unfailing promises of his unfailing God. And his testimony simply was that the Lord's promises to his people never, never, never fail, but are always perfectly fulfilled. As you think of Joshua's statement, you will see that he really emphasizes three simple in the sense that we can set them forth in very simple language, but profound things. First, he draws our attention to an immutable person. You see, the text makes no sense whatsoever apart from the central figure in it, which is the Lord your God. The Lord your God. Joshua's testimony reflects first on the Lord. Why do his promises become fulfilled? Because of who he is, and because of what he is. He never changes, and he never fails. That's the testimony of Scripture. In Malachi 3 verse 6, Jehovah speaks and says, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. We have the same thing stated in Hebrews 13, verse 8, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, where he says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The same in Hebrews chapter 1, where the Father speaks to the Son, and he compares, or should I say, contrasts the immutability of the Son of God with the changeableness of all creation. They shall change. Everything around us changes. The heavens and the earth will pass away. They'll be rolled up by God like a scroll. But the Lord never changes. He never grows old. He never alters in his being. He is God. He never alters in his perfections. You think of all the mighty attributes of God. What was true of him is true of him and will be true forever. His purpose can never be overthrown. He says, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my will. Let hell rage against them. His purpose will not be overthrown. Let all the nations of the earth rise up against him. Yet he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. His purpose will not be overthrown. And thank God, his work will never be left incomplete. Now here is the immutable person. Today I want you to get your eyes on him. Let's understand this, if we can't understand that God is God. There's not a thing in the world can change him. There's not a thing in eternity can change him. There is not a circumstance can change him. When we are going through the deep passages of life's trials, when we're suffering in mind, we're suffering in body, when we can't see further than the end of our own nose, we just don't understand. When we're like Jacob and we tend to say, all these things are against me. What on earth is happening to me? I can't figure it out. Let me tell you, my friend, it is absolutely essential that instead of focusing most on the circumstances and saying, what is God doing? We are better first to focus on the Lord himself. Let's interpret what is happening in the light of who he is and what he is. And when we put the Lord first and interpret things in his immutable light, then we will begin to make sense of things. And while we don't make sense of them, we still have the peace and the assurance of knowing that the Lord, the sovereign, unchangeable God, is in absolute and total control. Get back to what I quoted from Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. We normally take that, and I think with a great deal of reason, to mean that because God never changes, He will not visit us with His all-consuming wrath. That's certainly true. But we can also apply this to the circumstances of life. There are things which seem to be consuming you. There are things that would eat you up. There are things that would burn up any usefulness in your life. There are things that would just blow you off course. Your whole life would be consumed in utter uselessness. Now listen, the Lord says, I am Jehovah. I do not change. And because of that, you'll not be consumed. Joshua therefore calls us to view and consider an immutable person. I have to say that there are few things in Scripture that are of more immediate blessing to the people of God than to consider His absolute immutability. We live in a world very aptly summed up in the words of the old hymn, Abide with me, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Let that be our prayer today. Instead of first trying to solve the problem of what's happening, let's get back to our immutable God and get this on our heart. Lord, you never change. Abide with me. Let me live in the warmth of that assurance of my immutable Redeemer. But then Joshua takes another step and he draws our attention to an unbreakable promise. He says there that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Now, this is obviously a look at the past. Joshua is looking backwards and saying, until now, God has kept His word. His promise has been unbreakable. Did He promise to bring you out of Egypt? Did He do it? He is the one who said, I have seen the affliction of my people, I have heard their cry, I am come down to deliver them. Did He deliver them? Yes, He did. Did He bring you across the Red Sea on that great day when Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, with the sea before you, the desert behind you and all around you, and the armies of Pharaoh thundering on their way to cut you down? God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're going to go through that sea in safety. Did He keep His word? Bless God, He did. And He always does make a way to pass over for His people. Did the Lord keep you through those long wandering years in the wilderness? Did He bring you through the River Jordan, cast down the walls of Jericho, smite your enemies before you, the confederacy of both the south and the north? Did He bring you to this day, fulfilling all His word? Yes, He did. Joshua is speaking of the past. But you know, the message has an important word about the present and about the future. Clearly, Joshua was not saying to the children of Israel that the dependability of God's promises was merely something that was historically true and had no validity to them in that day and for the future days. I mean, that would have been absolute mockery. Joshua was not saying, look, at all those years, God kept His word. But that's all. It's just a matter of history. You don't have any such assurance now. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, look at what God has done, and from that understand what God is doing and what God is going to do. Now, as soon as you look at it like that, see what it does to your immediate circumstances. Are there things that we don't understand? Yes, there are. Many of us are still in the frame of mind that Joshua was in at Ai. But instead of saying, Lord, why have you not fulfilled your word? We've got to understand He is fulfilling His word. If only I had eyes to see it. And there are parts of His word that I have not even considered. And perhaps they are the parts that He is now fulfilling in order to finish all the rest. That's certainly what was happening at Ai. When I look at what God has done, I know that's what He is doing, for He never changes. And I know that's what He will do. So that it is always true for the people of God that there never fails one good thing which the Lord has promised concerning His people. He'll do all that He has said He'll do. Now that opens up a very, very big tract of Scripture, actually, which time does not allow me to do more than refer to. Just take that simple statement. The Lord will do all He has said He will do. Now you take this Bible and you'll find God has said He's going to do many things. First of all, regarding the nations. You take the second chapter of Daniel. The second chapter of Daniel is God's overview of the history of the world as far as we need to know it. Now, if you don't find America there, don't worry. America's not there. I just put that very clearly to you. There are all sorts of nonsensical so-called prophetic teachers running around who are seeing New York and Las Vegas and San Francisco and all the rest of these places and these prophetic scriptures. They are not there. You may take the principles and apply them to them, but this is the prophetic earth as God looks at it, and He's giving you an overview of the history. And I want you to notice something, that the things God thought were important are not really the things that men think very important, and the things that men think important, God doesn't even mention them. You take the four great world empires God speaks of. He never referred to the British Empire, and it was bigger in actual geographical spread than any of them. But while it was very important to Britain, it was not very important to God in the final view of things. But He looks at the nations, and He tells you what He's going to do with them. I want to tell you, He will do it. He'll do it. God is beginning, and I'm not going to get into a deep study of prophecy this morning, but God is beginning to put together on the continent of Europe and in the Middle East that confederation of nations that will produce the great final man of sin who will challenge the very being of God and set Him up in Himself up in God's place. That's already beginning to form. I don't know how far along it is, but God is doing it. I want you to know this, however, that what He says He'll do with those nations, He will do. He'll cast them down and He will defeat them.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.